It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
A second time in less than a week, I am graced by the presence of one Sal Capaccio in studio.
I had a choice here that I could either be on the phone driving back to my house, or since, again, I'm passing by, I'm like, what is the purpose of that if I could just go into Bulldog and look him in the face and talk to the great people here listening to WGR?
Well, that's very nice. And we have a new value added for our, I don't know if it's on the Twitch, too. Are the feeds the same? I've never been over to the Twitch, so I don't know how the Twitch feed looks, but they're the same feed.
I don't either.
Okay, it's the same feed. So the YouTube feed had, during the commercial break, folks who are watching the feed know this. Those of you listening on the radio probably couldn't give a crap, but I'm going to tell you anyway. There's a little countdown clock now while the commercial break is ticking down, and there's a little picture of Sal there. I don't know what we do if there's a countdown when it's not Sal coming up. Like, I don't know. Was there a countdown there for Ian Harditz? Was there like a little picture of Ian Harditz? No. It's only for you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Very creative. And good to make it here on time after you put that countdown on.
Yes.
I mean, it's depending on which way you go, I think it's generally an hour and a half, you know, an hour and 20 to 30, depending on the traffic. I always have one way I take from Rochester. Do you always have one way you go back and forth to Pittsburgh, or do you take different routes?
When I had the motorcycle, I would take more scenic routes, not the highway sort of thing. I did that a few times, missed that. But no, when we were driving to camp regularly, I would get off at that first Rochester exit, the 490.
Yep.
Take that in.
Through downtown. That's what I do.
And yeah.
It is technically quicker to go to the next exit, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I think that's the 390.
Yeah, I think that's
590,
right.
Like you do it that way. But I don't like that way as much. I like going through downtown Rochester. It's a cool view, and that's the way I came home today. I'm always worried about hitting traffic. But anyway, when I left, I'm like, ooh, this is going to be close. And I looked at my phone, and sure enough, it was right at that time.
Right on.
But actually, good to be here. And another day down, and only two left.
Right, I know, yeah. It comes and goes, right?
It's incredible.
It's not even three full weeks
that
they're there. So this is the second full week, and it's the last full week. Big news yesterday, of course, James Cook. The hold-in has begun. I said earlier, like, I could not think of an example. I would guess it's probably happened, that a guy in a situation like Cook, unhappy with his contract, shows up, starts camp, and then decides, you know what, this isn't going like I thought it was going to go. I'm going to sit down for a little while.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. I'm confused.
But here we are, and I have to think, I mean, I don't know that I'm right, that maybe Cook and his representation thought, look, just go in there, smile, right? Say all the right things, do your work, and let me work over here with the GM and the football, or, you know, we'll figure something out. And that still hasn't gotten them close enough to the finish line, and so now he's taking action. What's your reaction, first of all, to what he did yesterday?
Well, partly confusion because of what you just said, which is, well, you showed up to mandatory minicamp, and even though you said you showed up because you like your money and you didn't want to be fined,
right?
You also said because you want to be a part of a team, you want to help the team win the Super Bowl and all that, great teammate, all those, check those boxes, right? Great. Then, even though we were speculating what could happen, you still showed up to training camp. And it was like nothing ever happened. Like, literally, the first day of camp, yes, was it a story because we asked? Was it a story because we had to figure it out and report on it? But honestly, there was just like, he was a regular guy on the team. There was nothing else to it.
Yep.
He just showed up like everybody else did. Guy going to the last year of his contract. Heck, Connor McGovern's going to the last year of his contract. No different. Guy shows up, goes to practice. So that becomes a non-story. Since then, there's been nothing about this. Like, literally nothing. For over a week, and then we get out there, and even Sean McDermott doesn't say he's not practicing because he gives us the injury report. Now, maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Right.
He wasn't going to say James isn't practicing today to his contract. I wouldn't expect that.
Right.
But we didn't know because we walk out, and he's on the exercise bike. And I'm going to be honest with you, Bulldog, it's so far out of left field to happen after 9 days. I thought he had a vet rest day.
Right. Sure.
I'm like, oh, he must be having a vet rest day, and they didn't give it to us.
Keep the legs fresh. Right.
I didn't know. And then we're trying to figure it out, and no one knows what's going on. Sure enough, credit to Elena Getzenberg, ESPN.com. Catherine Fitzgerald, the Buffalo News. They went up to him after practice. They saw him and they said, you know, what's going on? Why didn't you practice? Business. Now, bam.
Now it's a
and
thing,
then
right.
Brandon Bean tells Jeremy and Joe this morning he didn't know until practice started.
Which makes me wonder just about how constant this communication they're in is, by the way.
Right. So you're right, because you would think at some point maybe the reps would say, listen, he's got to do what he's got to do. So right. If we don't get something done here, he's going to take a seat. He's going to be there, but we can't let it happen, right? I think it's just confusion. I agree with you, though, that to me it always read, go do your thing, show good faith. We're gonna get this done. If you do this, we'll get things. Show how good of a teammate you are, right. And they'll work it out. And it seems like that has not happened. So therefore, now he takes the next step in the next measure.
Right? Is it? Well, it's always worth guessing what the next move is. But I don't. I think the most likely next move is I don't know, in a few days, maybe in a few weeks, he returns to practice. Right? Like I don't think that. The Bills will suddenly come to a realization. They're like, yeah, you know what? Actually, we hear. What do you want again? Here it all is. I just don't think you've gone this far. I just don't think the threat of him sitting out practice is going to move the meter much for them. I could be wrong. I'm not sure what the next move is other than he makes a point and now everyone knows he's this level of unhappy. But nothing really changes, right? The PowerPoints here are all the same. Like the Bills still have maximum leverage. Mm-hmm. The only leverage Cook has is withholding his services, and that's never like for actual games. I mean, and that has never been that realistic to me that he would get that far.
Agreed. I mean, this could be like a baby pool. Like, you know, when you guess what date the baby's going to arrive, like what date will he actually be back in pads practicing with his team again? Because you could make. You could look at the benchmarks and make kind of different opinions or assumptions on when it would make sense and when he might do that. Is it at all during the preseason? Is it at all before they wrap up the preseason, playing a preseason game? Probably not the way this is going. Let's just say there's a stalemate still in the contract right. And they don't get real close. You get there. So then what happens? Does he actually start practicing before they play their first game against the Ravens, which would give them about a week and a half, right? I think about a week and mm-hmm. a half, 2 weeks. To do that, I don't know, because if all of a sudden you're not practicing, if we go out there, not the week of the Ravens game, but maybe a few days before that, and he's not practicing, I'm starting to wonder, like, they might just have to make him an inactive even if he does show up.
Yep.
Like, he's not practicing. He could show up, like, well, you know, he missed all this time, and we've been working Ray and,
right.
you know, Ty Johnson.
You want to give a guy ramp-up time,
yeah.
too, right? Like, to just...
I would think so. I just think there's... It's kind of like there's a lot up in the air here. There was speculation yesterday. Tom Pelissero reported they weren't that far apart. And I was like, wow, it's kind of new, right? Like that was a...
Yeah.
Where's he getting that from? Because that doesn't seem like it's right. But hey, maybe. And then I think Bean, listening to him today,
yeah.
made it seem like that is not the case.
No.
I mean, he didn't come out and say that. But it seemed to me like Brandon Bean, the way Brandon Bean talked today, I came away thinking they're no closer than they really have been.
Yeah, that my read is the same. We could both be wrong, and I'm not here to assail Tom Pelissero's reporting, but that my first guess when I heard that was agent, like right, just trying to create some urgency, right? Like fans are calling radio shows. I heard they're not that far apart. Come on, figure it out, right? But yeah, I would guess that isn't really the case myself.
And then it gets to, well, if they are getting close, you understand from one sense, which is it's like a hockey player getting traded. You take him off the ice the day of the practice.
Right.
So he says, I don't want to get hurt. I'm close to signing this deal, so I just don't want to go out there and risk anything that day. And, of course, I think the team would still kind of honor it, they, you know, something like that. But whatever. I totally get that. So there was speculation about that. I mean, there was speculation about maybe he's involved in a trade package.
Yes.
I don't think that's
right.
the deal. No, I agree with you that the agent probably is more apt to leak that to make his client look good, that he's not holding out because he's not holding in because they're really far apart and he's trying to make a stand.
What he wants is outrageous.
Correct.
Right.
He wants to create the, oh no, we're getting there. We just need to get over the finish line. So give my guy a little bit of leeway.
Yeah,
here.
if they're close, then his ask must be reasonable.
Correct.
Is the way that ends up, I think, looking
mm-hmm.
In the end. So... I mean, I know we've been talking about this on and off for months already, right? Ever since the eyeball emojis on the $15 million yeah. tweet, whenever that was, late January, early February, whatever. How big a deal? Like, if James Cook were to be traded, if James Cook were to just literally go home, what does it do to the 2025 Buffalo Bills in your view?
I don't think any win-loss market is getting impacted. You know, you can ask your guy Sammy P when he's on or somebody like that. I don't think that's the case. I think that the Bills
lose.
We can
do that on Friday when you're with me. We're going to talk to Sammy on Friday.
There we go.
Anyway, go ahead.
I think the Bills lose some dynamic ability at a position on offense. I think overall, having Josh Allen, having the offensive line they have, I don't think that it should preclude them from winning a lot of football games. They have guys in the backfield they trust, guys that have done a good job. Look, we talked to Ray Davis today. By the way, Zach, I put Ray Davis and Ty Johnson in Dropbox for you. So there you go. So we got the sound from them. And I say that because some good quotes in there about from Ray Davis and Ty Johnson about both about James' situation. They don't want to really speak on his business part of it.
Of course, right.
But they're both very supportive. You know, Ty Johnson said he's handling his business like a man, and I respect that. He's a man who's handling it like a man. I respect that. Ray Davis said, look, I'm just going to control what I can control, and, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do, but I got to be ready to play, essentially. I asked Ray about, you had this opportunity against the Jets last year. Let's go back to that game. Let's remember that game. Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, they were the guys against the Jets on a Monday night. And, yeah, I know it's the Jets. They weren't the best team in the league. Good defense, though. The Bills ran the ball really well. First drive of the game, they went down their throats, and they scored. I think the Bills are very confident in the guys they have behind James Cook that they can go out and win a lot of football games.
Yep. That's very much how I feel, and it ends up, I think, there's no way to not have it shine a less than complimentary light on Cook. I like Cook. Cook's, I think, a very, very good player and mattered a lot to this team last year, but I think some other running back could matter almost just as much if they got to the point. You're losing, what are you losing? You're losing the runaway from DB's ability that Cook, I think, really flashed last year for the first time. Do you remember that? I didn't feel like he had the extra gear.
No, but I do remember two training camps ago, not last one, but the one before that, I remember almost every day, Joe DiBiase and I would be talking, and I would say, Joe, I said, every day out here, James Cook busts off a big run. Like, every day out here. Like, that started to percolate. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many he had that year, maybe one or two, but last year, it seemed like one a week last year.
Yeah.
It seemed like one a week. And that wasn't just in the run game. If he got a pass or something, he could do that. That's the funny part about it. I know Jeremy and Joe talked about this morning. They're right. He comes into this league with this reputation as this big, high pass catcher, swing out of the backfield. I mean, they don't get J.D. McKissick, so they draft James Cook. If they sign J.D. McKissick, they don't even draft James Cook, most likely, right? So he comes into this league. We got to have a pass-catching running back, another option out of the backfield. His first year, when he was really getting time, that was kind of how they used him, and he dropped a couple passes. By the time he gets to 2.5, 3 years in, oh, no, he's a running back, and we can use him between the tackles, and he can be a guy that we can kind of do all this other stuff that we didn't really draft him for. But the pass catching hasn't even been the strong suit. He's dropped passes. That's what Ty Johnson comes in for.
Right. And his pass blocking is a problem for him being on the field on third down, seeing the end of the Kansas City game. So it all just adds up. Let's get to your best of training camp today before I forget, because I will, before I start talking about Khalil Shakir's injury. The best of training camp is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles.
It's a double best of. It's on the field and off the field from the same guy. He made a play, and one of his coaches talked about him even before that. It's a guy you know I love. Who do I love in this team? He's been here for 7, 8 years now. I've been talking him up for many years, and it's one of those guys I'm so glad I was right about.
Cam Lewis.
Bobby Babich talked. If there's any thought that Cam Lewis isn't on this team, shut it down. The way Bobby Babich talked about Jordan Hancock and then morphed into talking about Cam Lewis, essentially he said, I don't know if you have the clip on it or not, Zach. I can even play it, but Bobby Babich talking about Jordan Hancock. He was asked about Jordan Hancock. He said he actually called Jordan Hancock last night. Bobby Babich, defensive coordinator. He said, yeah, I called him. I try to stay in constant communication with my guys. And my message basically was, you're doing a great job. We love your progress. You have to be more buttoned up on the details. It's the details, he said. And it's hard on a guy who's trying to learn multiple positions, right? It's like, man, but he's got a little bit more on the details. And then he kept going. He goes, he's a rookie. He said that twice. And then he said, but he's got the best guy to learn from. There's a guy right there next to him every day in that meeting room. Look at Cam Lewis. Look what Cam does to our team. Look what he means to our team. That guy can play multiple positions, never complains about a darn thing, goes out there and does his job every single time. That's a guy who's on this team. I don't care. At the end of the day, if Jordan Hancock, you think he's a cheaper Cam Lewis. No. He's a guy that they want to be like Cam Lewis someday. No doubt about that. Then Cam goes on the field, and he picked off Josh Allen in a red zone drill and made a great pick over the middle. I don't know if Josh was trying to squeeze it into like a slant, and Cam was right there, and he made the pick, and that was like, okay, Bobby Babbage talks about him. He has that. That's my best stuff.
All right. That totally works. Were you thinking about that the whole way in here?
No. As soon as you mentioned it,
you're such a pro.
I'm thinking, what did I see that was really cool today? And that stuck out to me a couple of times.
So the bad news from Friday, Khalil Shakir, high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to I don't like asking you to gauge their level of concern. I mean, Sean McDermott will tell you he's concerned about everything. If the grass isn't growing at the right angle, he'd be worried about the grass, which is, you know, that's a football coach's life. But that, like, I'm trying to remember. It's August 4th, not September 4th, right? Week to week, fine. I've got time. High ankle sprain, that can linger. But I'm trying not to overreact to the injured list because it's still August 4th. But Shakir was a... That's the guy on that side of the ball that I think you just think, you know, I can't lose that guy.
Off the top of your head, what do you think were the worst two to you? It doesn't have to be statistically. Worst two Buffalo Bills offensive games of last year. Off the top of your head, do you remember like...
Well, the Baltimore game was pretty bad. No, the Houston game was worse. Josh's numbers in the Houston game were horrendous. The Baltimore game had a big play to Shakir that was kind of a broken play, but still, whatever. It was a big play down the field.
But those two games?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the common denominator? Shakir got hurt in the Baltimore game in the first series.
Okay, right.
He was not right that game. Right. He got loose, but he was not right. He missed the next week. Mm. The common denominator of last year... having the two worst offensive outputs you've had all year, Khalil Shakir wasn't a part of the game. I think that speaks volumes of what he means to this team. Now, what did they do in the offseason? We got to build around what we're doing. And not build around Khalil Shakir, but give more options to the offense. Because I think what happened was last year, Shakir does so many little things right for them that he becomes such a weapon at all different levels of the field that he allows other people to kind of be in different spots and you can create matchups. You lose Khalil Shakir last year, suddenly everybody's in a box, and it's way different and way easier to defend the Buffalo Bills. We're going to put this guy here, that guy here, and we're on you, and we're going to come up and press you or whatever. That's what I fear when I think about Shakir this year, although I do think that they enhanced their wide receiver core with different abilities now with Joshua Palmer and Elijah Moore, and you hope Keon Coleman takes a step and Dalton Kincaid's healthy. But look, I mean, I think that this is a big deal if Khalil Shakir's out. And ironically, it's against Baltimore week one, right? The same team that figured out, what do we do? Okay, Khalil Shakir's not right. We're going to get up in your face. We're going to press the hell out of you. We're going to come after your quarterback. He got beat up that day, by the way. Josh did. You know, and that's a team, the first week you play, that if he's not as healthy as can be, you better have some more options than you did last year. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That is definitely not a guy they're rushing anywhere.
No.
Right?
It's good. It's good that, you know, Khalil's been in the league a while. He's dealt with this injury last year. He dealt with the same injury. And he just... he's such a hard worker. Like, you don't have to worry about a guy like that. When he's ready, he'll be ready to come right back in, I think. You know, you don't have to rush him back. You don't have to. Even I would say, yeah, you want to do right by the ramp-up time, but even with a guy like that, maybe the ramp-up time is a little less.
Yeah. How about anything from Friday night else that stood out? It sounded like Coleman had a lousy start to the evening and then really shined later on.
It was great. His second half of the practice was great. His first half, Josh, 7-on-7. Josh hits him right in the hands on a comeback route. Doesn't hold on. A little bit later, Mitch Trubisky over the middle, crosser, great 20-25-yard gain. Doesn't hold on. Then later, makes a fantastic catch with Christian Benford, of all people, right on him. And he literally, like, what I loved was Bulldog. And on the stream, people can see it. Hi, bullpen. But people listening can't. I mean, he, like, blocked him out with his left shoulder. Mm-hmm. And the way he angled himself that Christian couldn't get there was just the kind of thing you want to see from Keon to understand body.
Right.
Understand where his positioning should be.
Use your advantage.
100%. Right, and that's exactly what he did. He got that. It was great. So, yeah, that's for sure. I mean, a little concern here. I don't know what they're going to do Saturday about kicking. Are they not going to kick a field goal or extra point? Because Tyler Bass has not kicked in a week. And they have a game here in like 5 days.
And there's not a backup 6 days. Kicker, right?
There's nobody else on the roster. But Friday night, Ray Davis had a couple of kicks.
Ray Davis was kicking field goals Friday night.
I mean, unless you put Ray Davis in there to kick. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm thinking they might not kick a field goal or extra point Saturday because you're just recovering. Your kicker's recovering, right? Don't put him in a situation where there's live guys coming at you.
Right.
And you have to, you know, that could be a thing. That was something that stood out to me. And then there was a lot of talk and chatter about Josh Allen not participating in 11-on-11. He came out. He took warm-ups. Fans saw him. There's a lot of kids there. People want to see him. I get it. Like, you go there, you want to see Josh Allen. I asked Sean McDermott, what was the reason? He said, look, we have four quarterbacks. We got to get them all ready. And basically, they were using Friday night to give Mike White a lot of opportunity and reps because I'm assuming, you know, preseason Mitch will get a lot of that early on. We'll see. We don't even know. Josh might play Saturday. We don't know. Sean said he didn't make a determination. But that's why Josh didn't really get a lot of run on Friday night was because they're trying to ramp up their other quarterbacks because they have to get some time coming up there in the preseason games.
Also wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I know in front of almost 40,000 people on a Friday night, maybe not the best time to give him rest. But, you know, quarterbacks at all ages can use a break during camp, you know.
Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White didn't practice that night, right? I mean, like, and you don't know, maybe that's because they're on turf, you know, they have some injuries they're recovering from, things like that. There's a lot of things that go into all this stuff. So it's Saturday's it. You know, you get back out there and Saturday they're going to, I don't know, they have a lot of injuries right now, a lot of injuries. By the way, today, update, Baylen Specter left practice today. He's got a calf injury. I mean, I've been telling people Baylen Specter has really looked good, the fact that he's on the field, but you can't trust him to be on the field. And here he is again. He's hurt again. And this just really opens the door for Joe Andreessen, who I think already should have been the guy and would be the guy. But there was a battle there, no doubt. And now Joe has all of that kind of opportunity in front of him.
Right. And didn't the name of the veteran, Shaq?
Shaq Thompson.
Shaq Thompson.
Yeah.
Did he get dinged?
He did. He didn't practice today either.
Okay.
Good news, Taylor Rapp returned today, though. Taylor Rapp returned. Taron Johnson had a vet rest day. Deion Walker was sick. He did not practice today. And Dane Jackson was out with a personal excused absence. So nobody added with the injuries except until Baylen Specter got hurt.
Right. Today. Right.
Today. Shakir nobody added. Weekend. Nobody added. Right. That's right.
Right. All right, Sal. Nice to see you. Lovely.
You too.
All
right. You too.
We'll talk every day
this
from
week
now
and
until
then,
the end of time,
I suppose,
right?
We'll be together on Friday night, right? Friday afternoon.
All right. Training camp at St. John Fisher University. By the way, our coverage, Sal's coverage, all of our coverage brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. I will hit up a timeout. Phone lines are available at 803-0550. You want to give your assessment of James Cook's importance to the offense on day two of his hold in. We'd love to hear from you on that as we move through the early evening hours. I am the Bulldog. Mike is away this week. This is WGR.
Cam Lewis plays a lot of positions. He never makes an excuse. He wants to do everything right, and he works at it. And he's as tough as they come. What a great example for a guy that has to do multiple things, right? Position versatility is going to add value to you. And here's a guy who can do all those things. So there's a perfect example sitting right next to Jordan Hancock, someone like Jordan Hancock in meetings. So, you know, it's a little bit, your job is to know multiple things in the NFL, right? It's not a college roster. So that's where it's at. Like, no excuses, no explanations. Figure it out. Let's go. It's pro football.
That is Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. That's the clip from his meeting with the media this morning that Sal was referencing just a few minutes ago, talking about one of his favorites, Cam Lewis. It was his best of training camp today. The comment dovetailed into Lewis making a play, an interception of Josh Allen during some teamwork part of practice there. So clearly Josh Allen is finished. No, I'm kidding. But Cam Lewis, Sal set it up. Like, that's one of his guys. He's been bullish on him for years here. And yeah, I think the chatter makes sense. You see the Bills draft a guy, from a bigger, more famous program, and they look to be grooming him to play maybe the role that Cam Lewis has played, like, you know, a little slot, a little safety. We're just going to, you know, and you might think, oh, well, they're just, they maybe they think they upgraded, right? They've got a more talented, more pedigreed version of this guy. But, you know, boy, you hear Babich talking there, and yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question. I think you can like the Jordan Hancock idea just fine. The other rookie DB, Dorian Strong, too, in addition to Maxwell Hairston, of course, the first-round pick. But I think Cam Lewis, I'm with Sal. Like, I think they the trust they have there, I think, is enormous. And I think he's solidly in a position to be on this team. Who knows? Anything can happen by the time cutdown comes around, but I'd be surprised if anything happened there to Lewis. Maybe Hancock is a practice squad candidate. I don't know. It was a fifth-round pick. Strong was a sixth-round pick. I have trouble getting all these guys through to reach the practice squad if they end up going that route, but seems maybe at least like an idea you'd want to explore anyway. If not, keeping him just flat out on the active roster doesn't mean he has to be active on game day necessarily. Hancock, I'm talking about. 803-0550. Is the phone number if you would like to get in on the conversation that largely today has centered around James Cook and his hold in beginning yesterday. This is not a piece of the puzzle that I would have forecasted. I thought it was more likely that he would do this holding in right at the outset of camp, but he chose to participate fully after showing up for minicamp and participating in that. So he hasn't been fined at all, and he won't be fined now. The hold-in is, you don't get fined for that. He's here, he's been active, and he's reported, but now he's just basically, he's on strike. That's a sloppy way to put it. He's holding in. That's the terminology everyone understands in the league. And, boy, we went from, will he come to mandatory minicamp? Sure. Will he come to training camp? Yeah. Will he participate in training camp? Yeah. To where Mike and I are sitting in here going, this is nothing burger, the whole story. I recorded, 10 or 15 minutes with our old buddy Andrew Filippone earlier, on Friday, I guess it was, for a show that I think airs nationally on the FanDuel network on Sunday. And when I saw the news about Cook holding in, I'm just like, oh, no, because Andrew asked me about Cook, and I used that phrasing exactly. That's what just tripped the wire. It reminded me that I did it. Nothing burger. Like, it just turned into a non-story. And that's airing somewhere as James Cook is beginning a hold-in. And I'd be like, oh, man, we got tripped. I'm so disappointed. But I would not have expected this. I don't know, what precipitated it. I really think there's a strong chance. I mean, there's a strong chance. Who knows? There's some chance anything could have happened. Even a trade idea, all right? That they're protecting him because he's involved in a return on a trade or something. That's I can't rule that out. I don't know that that's untrue. I kind of doubt it. But anyway, I think the likeliest scenario here is that Cook was either through his own choice or, in concert with his agent. I mean, I think you would want to get some consultation on this and some advisement. Might have thought, and Cook probably wanting to be viewed as a good teammate, right? All the things he said. This decision he made yesterday to begin a hold-in does not, to me, offset everything he said about appreciating his place here and wanting to be a part of a Super Bowl team and all of that, like be a good teammate, everything. But I think in the situation he was in, not finding satisfaction on a contract extension front from the Bills, I'll bet he wanted to, like, look, if I go in there and say all the right things and do all the right things, maybe that will get them closer to my side of things here. Like, it'll get us closer to the number that we're looking for. And I wondered, as camp was beginning, whether or not the Bills had even held back just a little for a situation like this. Okay, what? You're here, good faith. We're willing to go, I don't know, how much more? Guaranteed money, how much more annual average value? Here, I don't think it would be massive, but I wondered if that could be something that could have been happening. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but I think Cook showed up and was hoping that would jumpstart things and that the team would see fit to get closer to his number, and they'd be in agreement and everything would be fine. And now that has not happened. Here we are, right? We're almost through training camp. We're in the second full week of training camp, and guess what? There's only two full weeks of it. It's over. They play the Giants in a preseason game on Saturday, and then that's it for at least the training camp portion of training camp that is away at camp. They will continue practicing here and working towards their season opener in these preseason games from their home base in Orchard Park, but the St. John Fisher University portion is over. But when you get to the weekend here, I think he probably was hoping that would make it work and they'd find a way to get somewhere on it, and it has not happened. So I don't know what ends up being next for him. This will go on for however many days, maybe multiple days, maybe even weeks. But I still think in the end, I don't expect, if he's not budging substantially off of the numbers he wants, which was a top of the market running back contract, I don't think the Bills are getting really that near a top of market running back contract. I think eventually Cook will just do what he's done so far up until yesterday, which is recognize the position he's in and that the team is holding most of the leverage and just come back and play. It's what I expect will happen. We'll see, That being said, what I expect, I did not expect this yesterday morning, that Cook would begin a hold-in, but he has. So I've been talking a lot about him today. We continue to do that here as we move along. I'll take a timeout here. We'll come back more on this on WGR.